we are the dreamers of dreams.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? How are you? I feel like this is very interesting. This is going to be a very interesting episode.
It's going to be a banger.
It's going to be a banger. Happy New Year. Happy 2023. I hope we're already working towards our goals. Whatever that might be, you know, even if it's like sleeping in the house. Honestly, whatever you do, you. This is the year of, you know, healing, you know, just working on yourself. You know the vibes. Yeah, so without further ado, welcome back to, I think this is episode 6 of season 2 of A Touch of Gen Z. Ooh. I am your hostess with the mostest. This is Peter Mutia. Welcome back, welcome back. Today I'm here with a very special friend. Yeah, I'll let him introduce himself and then we'll get into it.
Hi guys.
Hi, we're doing ASMR now.
Oh my gosh, I love the mic and the ASMR. I think I could do an ASMR thing.
Exactly.
Anyway, hi guys. My name is Carl. I am here to talk about a lot of things. I'm so excited to be part of this.
Same. And I'm so excited to be like it's been a long time. It's been overdue,
it's been
honestly.
A long time coming, and I'm glad it's finally coming.
Literally.
That's what she said. And ooh. Ooh. 2023, we're getting our goals. 2023, even if getting our goals is just, you know, errands, you know.
Imagine as long genuinely as just we're doing us, mm-hmm, we're setting all expectations to the wind.
Yep, yep.
We're going with the flow. Mm-hmm. We're having good sex. Yeah, you know,
we should be having good sex.
Yes. Yeah. Don't you think it's good sex and money? Thank ooh. Emphasis on the money, child.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, this is very, I feel like this is a topic that has been edged by my whole podcast. I feel like the whole basis of my podcast is to bring people and just talk shit about men and capitalism. It's like I bring my friends and yeah, we talk shit about male culture
and capitalism.
And this is no different. But we're going to dive into a few things that, you know, I've been seeing and I really wanted to talk to you guys about it. And, you know, like, as I said in my last podcast, this is an elevated thing. Like, we don't I'm giving you content, babes. I'm giving you content, you know.
We are
the chosen ones. Like, why would I lose if I've already been chose? Like,
watch the space. iSpice is the greatest, one of the greatest minds of our generation.
Like, Princess Diana,
please,
like, please
pay attention to what that woman says.
Like, sit down, TED Talk. Every single thing she releases is a TED Talk.
My god,
mind boggling, as in so inspirational.
We can't get into it now. The podcast will be about something else.
Exactly. It's all about iSpice.
Don't get me started.
So wherever you're listening, get cozy, get, you know, bring out your thinking pad and just, you know, listen
vibe
to
with
vibe with us, you know, because it's going to be, I always keep it fun and light and educative as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know the vibes. So let's get into it. So with the title, obviously, you've seen, we're talking about men. we're talking about men and masculinity and homosocial bonding and all of these things that are very key to being a man, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're just gonna get into it. So what are we starting with, Carl?
We'll start with you know, heterosexual culture and, you know, how
it's very
men treat one another. Does this,
yeah,
there's this YouTube comment I saw that on a very serious video, that the story of human history is that men are always in a crisis, you know, like, yeah, there's always a masculinity crisis happening at almost every period.
At any sort, yeah, exactly. And it's always like, I saw it as a TikTok as well.
Yeah.
Like, from the 1820s, it's always been published that men are going through some sort of crisis.
That's hilarious.
That's very hilarious.
So, in the 21st century, this is our take on it. This
is our take on the male crisis right now. Exactly.
Anyway, so I'd like to get into, you know, homosocial bonding. Homosocial bonding is, these are the platonic relationships among people of the same gender. This is how you relate to one another and where you find and develop your ideas about masculinity, in the case of men now, and feel accepted into manhood, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of homosexual bonding with men is heterosexuality.
Like, exactly.
A big part of your masculinity as a man, as defined now, is your heterosexuality. You're not a man unless you're hetero, as in, like, that's why there's all this homophobia. Like,
exactly.
The first thing that the reason homophobia is there, because it takes a very big part of your masculinity. Like, if you're not hetero, then are you really a man?
It's exactly. And also, like, masculinity is also based on shaming everything feminine.
Exactly.
And so, you know, feminine presenting men, basically, as we said earlier, basically, homophobia is just stems off femphobia. It's literally masculine ideals, and those masculine ideals do not have space for anything feminine.
That's true.
And so that's why people in these very masculine spaces, in these homosocial groups, are very homophobic, because it's against kind of, like, it's not really against, it's just for the whole masculine ideal, which is basically shaming like feminine features and feminine ideals
and perspective. So there's this very, I don't know if it's popular now, but like, this is very, it's a very good quote that it says heterosexual culture is inherently
homoerotic. Exactly.
Yeah. So, or as in, like, yes, you might have sex with women, but like, the people you admire, the people you listen to, the people you value, the people who you
go to validation and community to is men.
Like, exactly. You focus on your, it's your boys. It's
my boys,
first of all, and like the rest of you. As in, it defines almost every choice you make. Like,
literally.
The women you date, the things you do, what
you even their careers into, you go
the careers
to.
You go into. So a very big part is just telling you the opinions you take, you listen to, the role models you have are very generally men. So as in,
exactly,
it's this contradiction where heterosexuality is a very big part, and yet you pick
men as your
knee. So it's this thing where, like, it's a contradiction, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's very just a position, because
and it, as this homosexual bonding, like, back to homosexual bonding, it involves women. For a very big part, since it's heterosexual, you're talking about women all the time, talking about picking up women, talking to women, talking about your sexual conquest and everything.
Yeah.
And you're not talking about women like as people, doing them as prize, as objects, as things to be won, as things to be, as prizes, basically.
Yeah.
So now,
and so you curtail your personality and you curtail all these things in your life so you can win that prize. Exactly.
Yes. Everything in service of, you know, getting the prize, you know. So as in, like, even when you're talking to your boys, like, you can't really contribute much to these conversations when, like, you're not, as they say, as they say, getting bitches, you know.
Literally, like, exactly. If you're not getting bitches, you know, like, you don't have a say on the table.
What are you telling us? Why are you talking when grown men are talking? Why are you
also in this very homosexual social groups? There's a lot of ridicule. Exactly. Like,
perfect. Oh my god. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, because that's coming later.
That's coming up next.
Yeah.
So basically, like, we really center women, but not women as the people they are, as the full individuals they are, but exactly, the idea of women as prizes, as objects. So you end up, like, with men who, as they talk about women so much, but end up, they don't know anything about
them. They literally don't know anything about women, but 90% of their topics is women.
It's a lot of contradiction there.
It's so crazy. Like, and you see it so evidently, like, in the club, boys will be talking to themselves for 90% of the time and then wait for girls to go get drunk because men don't have these, basically, and then now go for those girls. It's very, like, if your conquest was women from the start of the point, it should have been from the start. You understand? And because you do not have the courage to go talk up to women and you don't have the skills, basically, to go talk to these women, and all you know how to is talk about women with your men, you end up perpetuating this very,
it's
It's a crisis. And it's also like stems into like sex and relationships.
It really does. Because now, in these social groups of men, they have this very fragile idea of masculinity. Like,
that's very true.
You could be the manliest man. You could be smart. You could cut logs with, like, these niggas on TikTok.
Cut logs.
You know, you could be really that guy. But then now you do one thing, which is sus.
Which is feminine.
Sus is the lingo they use, but like,
exactly. what they mean is feminine.
What they mean is feminine. So as in like, let's say if you cry, if you take like one of the Philly cocktails.
If you paint your nails or you do something.
As in like, all of a sudden your masculinity is called into question. Like, and then now that opens you up to ridicule, you know.
Ridicule. And that's just show how fragile masculinity is.
So as in like, you're always watching yourself or what you're doing. You're always watching other people for what they're doing because you think that if it's not me, if it's not someone else being ridiculed, it will be me.
It will be me.
So you become this hyper-aware person who's just like...
Which creates a lot of anxiety.
Looking for, exactly. It's looking for faults everywhere. It's looking for needs everywhere. And then you're also policing yourself, you know.
All the time.
So as in like, you're not exploring your full humanity. You're not exploring your full personhood. You're so busy subscribing to this soulless idea of masculinity, this caricature that you've created for yourself.
Literally.
And this is what this is an issue. It makes you less fun. It makes you terrible to talk to. It makes you terrible at sex. It makes you more anxious. It makes
you lose your individuality.
Generally, it kills you. Like, all this thing that women say in response to feminism, that men are more prone to suicide and all that.
And more prone to alcohol and drugs abuse because that's the stem
of
it.
Don't let yourself be vulnerable around your boy. Don't let yourself be a full human being.
Literally, yeah. And the only time you can be is either when you're high or when you're drunk. And that's when you have a call, you can grasp your personality. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like so many in this like male groups, majority of the time they're either drinking or smoking, because those times that they're drinking and smoking is when at least they're allowed to be themselves. Exactly. And then that drinking goes to a very high extent because they do not want to remember that part of them. Like, you've enclosed yourself so much that
the only outlet
is literally alcohol. The only time you can be yourself is when you're super drunk. And that's why there's such a like radical alcoholism that's going on, especially like with men, they do not see it because they think alcohol is a social lubricant, which it is, but to some certain extent,
if it's the only point where you can talk, vulnerable, if you have something weighing on you, exactly. And the only way you can talk about it to your boys is to first get drunk,
and then you start crying, and then you become a mess, or you start fighting, because that's the only time you have you're in tune with your emotions.
That's the only time you're letting yourself feel things, because as in like,
literally,
guys think as in like the only emotion that they can express is anger. Not
it's anger.
It's really like social conditioning and everything. I can't really blame them because like social conditioning has taught you that okay, the only emotion that men should express as men, as a full man, is anger.
You know, literally,
you can't express compassion, you can't express gratefulness, you can't express any. It's just anger. It should always be anger is the only emotion that's there. So you end up calling like women emotional, but like,
is it really emotional?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as in, you know, stop that.
Grow up.
Please talk to your boys. As in,
you know, without like, just
you can
like
talk about things. You can
call up your boys and actually speak to them.
You know,
I feel like that's how literally, and it's so crazy that is literally one of like, it's crazy that people exist in such settings that you can't literally talk to someone.
You know, like, and for the longest time, as in like, I had to exist in this, and like it did not work for me. Then I envy like with women, they have this overt affection, this like loud support for each other. You go girl, as in the dance, as in
go girl boss, so much. You know,
boss, like, you know, yeah. I love you so much. I will die. I will. Literally
women support it. Like, you see that even when they're in the club, like, they're drunk. You're like, oh my God, babe, you look so nice.
The validation
is constant. Have you ever seen like a girl when she posts something?
Yeah, all her
friends, literally, all of them will be like, babe, you look so good. Like literally so much validation. Mm-hmm. And with men, you just don't see that. You just don't see
that. There's even this, there's a young gag I used to see, a very old meme that as in like, I see when men compliment one another, they have to add, oh, but I'm not gay.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like no homo, bro. No homo. Like what the fuck? Like as in, it's the thing is complimenting them doesn't, and that's why like there's in, because of these homosocial groups and everything is so centered on women and sexuality. Everything is also sexualized to the point where you can't even hug your bro. That is crazy. What do you mean a hug is something sexual in your language? That's madness. That's literally madness.
I think there's just a lot of contradiction. There's a lot of contradictions within this. You know, as in like. At some point, people say, as in, like, giving oral pleasure is gay, or something like getting your nipples sucked, that's gay.
Yeah.
You know, so as in, like, you're performing this role that you think people, you think.
That's be rewarded, that turns you know, annoying to sex, right? Caricature. Now.
Exactly. Even pivoted to sex. Like, you end up performing this role that's like, you think you have to perform, you know?
And that's.
This dominant thing, as in, like, this thing that, as in, like, you think, you know. I have to be dominant. I have to be in like this. I have to be. So you end up like your pleasure takes a backseat.
Literally. And your pleasure and personality take a backseat.
That's true.
And then you're just performing a role. And obviously these things have also been perpetrated by society when you see in porn and when you see in like literally how you like how your boys even like. Like, you know, it's very like who are you pleasing at this point? True, you know, like true, if you're having sex to go tell your boys after, like that's the sus shit right there. That's the
men have been conditioned to look at sex as an avenue for intimacy, for pleasure, for emotional connection, but just as an avenue to reassert their manhood, to
exactly.
reassert so their masculinity. Performance. You know, yeah. Like I had sex because you know
I'm a man,
not to you know.
Please this person and to connect to this person to further out exactly.
And that's the difference now, as in like you know, why are you doing this? That's why you end up having like, you know, it's because like you're not allowing yourself to explore pleasure.
Exactly. To women are not having orgasms with men because literally you're going there for a mission. You're not going there in the sense that you're going to the mission is not to even please the woman, the mission is to
get to the point of having sex.
Exactly. You united, then you move on with your life. And then you go tell your boys after that you did this and that. And then they give you validation for it. And that's what you're actually looking for. You're looking for validation and community from these men.
That's the thing.
You're not looking for pleasure with women.
You want to have something to say. You know, something to say in the social group. You know, when they're talking about or even me.
Even me, I was inside there. Like all those nonsense that men say.
But like, not...
The baby, and that's why guys, the girl is like, that nigga was mean as fuck. Like, it's very interesting to like look outside from like of the spectrum and then see these things happening. Because when you explain to, I don't even expect like a man, as like a fully heterosexual man to be listening to this and get it. Because like, they do not understand how deep they are inside.
You know, like, it's fine, but how do we get better? That straight man who maybe might be listening, the odds are low, but like this is for you.
This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. From men to men.
This is for you. Girl.
From men to men.
This is for you.
This is for you.
I'm so sorry. I really love the mics. Anyway,
like, no, it's actually it gives you a very like once you listen to yourself, you sound oh god wow like this is my voice.
I'm getting carried away. Anyway,
narcissism, so, a bit of narcissism, just a bit to you know elevate yourself. Like,
what you need, what you need for yourself is just like a more durable form of masculinity. You, as in your masculinity, would go away if you know you wash your ass. If you
you want to paint your nails, do that. If you want to explore something in fashion, do that. If you want to be clean, if you want to explore anything that's outside, you know, the three things that men talk about, which is sport, bitches, and some nonsense that, like, as in, crypto. And cryptocurrencies. You know, like, if you want to explore out of those three topics, it's very fine. You can be yourself. Like, and if those people are not serving you, then Leave. Let me tell you, I keep on saying, and I've been saying this from day one, leave. Do you know there are so many people, so many men who are self-aware? Mm-hmm. And as I was saying, like literally outside, mm-hmm. right now, being a well-adjusted man is the easiest way to get bitches. It's literally, it's if that is your primary goal in life, being a well-adjusted man will get you women. 100% during like this society. Because if you still perpetuate this, like if you consistently, like if you look at yourself right now, yeah, the only reason you're getting a girlfriend is to have sex. The only reason, like, and then after that time, you're not even spending time with her. Majority of the time you're spending with other men.
The boys.
Mm. And so, like, being a well-adjusted man and having friendships with women, understanding women, is what is going to get you women. It's that easy. It's that simple. And exploring what you like. Having a personality that's outside the norm is what gets you women. And the only time you'll be outside the norm is when yourself, because not everyone is the same. You know.
The bar is literally on the floor.
Like, all you have to do is be a well-adjusted man. That's it.
You accept the full spectrum of emotion that comes with existing. Like, you can cry, you can express affection, you can express excitement, you can be a person. As in, like, it's really okay. Like, find, I know ni rahisi kusema, but for ground it's different because like,
it's a lot of try, work.
It is work, yes. But
it is
like,
work.
Then it's work for the bare minimum. So just,
but it's not for the bare minimum. Literally,
you know, as in like, just you can experience all these things outside, you know, the norms that you're used to. You know, as in like, you can express that you're scared. You can express that you're vulnerable. You can talk about your feelings.
And some, and I'm trusting you, a woman will respect you even more once you do that.
Like, genuinely, like you can try things. You can try things. Having sex though, as in it won't affect your masculinity. Like,
eat pussy. Eat pussy. What's the issue?
It's a woman. You know,
it's like, a woman. Like,
gets pegged. You know.
That's the thing. If whatever you're doing is a woman, it's not going to be gay. Like, whatever society has said it's gay, you're having sex. You as a man are having sex with a woman. That is heterosexual sex. Whatever happens, even if you're pegged, babe, that is heterosexual sex. So don't confine yourself into these boundaries, because you only have one life. Like, imagine.
Not to stop making fun of your friends who, you know,
have chosen to
themselves.
Exactly.
Like, chosen to be vulnerable with you, have chosen to, you know, express something with you, as in offer them that space to, you know,
Be themselves,
you know. Like, even when somebody makes a mistake, like, don't be the person who rushes to, you know, ridicule and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You
know? Compassion, as in strength and kindness. As a man, you, as in, like, yes, you're supposed to be strong, but, like, you forget that strength and kindness are two different sides of the same.
Exactly. You know?
Like, I use the paradigm of lifting someone up from the ground. It takes kindness to, you know, go and offer help. But it takes strength to actually lift them up
exactly.
from the ground. You know?
Nurturing is strength.
Nurturing is strength. You know, you have to have kindness, because otherwise, you know, what are you doing all this for?
Exactly.
Why even have strength if you're not going to use it for kindness? You know.
Exactly.
Basically.
So stop viewing sex as a currency with your boys.
Yeah.
And also stop entering relationships with women you don't like. Because, like, oh my God. Because a lot of women complain about how men are unloyal and how men are bums during relationships. You understand? But if the basis of that relationship was your boys telling you to go chase after this girl, and then in the process of you chasing after this girl, she caught feelings, so you thought you have to go out of your way and be a man and enter a relationship with her, and then you end up mentally and emotionally abusing her and cheating on her, like, it serves no one. If you don't want to be in a relationship with that woman, tell her from the get-go. You understand? You don't have to sacrifice your life, your time, and your money for satisfaction with your boys. And I say this all the time. You see, I, like, as in, whenever, like, it's always a really beautiful girl who starts talking about this man who looks like, who wears three quarters and sandals and a blue shirt and, you know, drives a very bad Subaru. You know, like the whole bum nigger stereotype things. And like, first of all, you even want, did this guy even like this woman? You understand? Or was she just a conquest that stayed for too long? It's crazy. It's crazy. Y'all are wildy.
You know, but anyway.
Where are we going next?
Oh yeah, I just want to add, like, I think to bring it back to our context, I feel like single gender schooling, like having schools which are just exclusively like for guys and exclusively for women, I feel like that. That disservice to both men and women, as in we spend a significant part of our growing lives in school.
Yeah.
So this separation and sequestering of boys and girls to keep them from interacting only serves to like make the divide between them more, you know, pronounced.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So like, when you, it is in school that you contend with peers, that you learn from people, that you are taught, that you learn from each other, that you argue against each other, that you being graceful in defeat, that win, as in like being, having a woman teammate, you know, like that's how you get to see, like, you know, women as people instead of prizes. Because now when the school itself serves to sequester you from girls, you end up creating more of a myth around women.
Women, exactly, because you don't interact with them.
You don't
and especially in your formative years.
Especially in your formative years.
Yeah.
So like your concept is so far removed from what someone really is.
Exactly. Like, and you're just feeding off like the stereotypes that
your peers
have told you.
Who also don't know anything.
Like, exactly. Like you're like all in the dark. Like, and it's not like even those teachers are feeding you any information on women. Because there's no fire sex education that happens. Mm-hmm. There's no interaction that you're having. Mm-hmm. And so whenever, even when you go for these functions, your first thing is to just try to make out with a girl because you're feeding on your sexual desires and you're not even getting time to get to know women. And so because you don't interact with women for so long, and as a teenager, you're just constantly horny. Like, when you go home, your first thought will be, how do I get rid of these horny emotions with this object? You know, like, you're not even looking at women as people, and no one is teaching you that from a young age. And also because the cycle has continued, fathers are not teaching you that. So you're just going out on your own, feeding, and because you need community, you look to your other boys who are also lost, and all of you are just in this very
blind man leading blind man,
literally stereotype.
So it robs you of like being a well-rounded individual, like from being a well-rounded human being. So many people fall through the cracks, and like you can't talk to women because you haven't talked to women
ever. Like, literally,
it's not even really your fault. It's a systemic thing that, you know, we've led in the name of purity culture, like, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I had to add that.
Yeah, poor.
Yeah.
Poor. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I feel like we're in the segment where we go to the next topic, but then we always have an ASMR break. So yeah, let's do an ASMR break.
Is that just for me?
Yeah. Carl, everyone, this is Carl. Carl is single. Ladies out there, hit Carl up.
Don't be saying that. Cut this out of the car. I'll cut it out.
No stress. I'll cut it out. Yeah.
So actually, we'll see.
So yeah, let's go to the next topic. Insults.
Insults.
Damn.
Insults. Honestly.
So what is an insult?
What is an insult?
The definition is, an insult is a member of an online subculture of people who define themselves as unable to get a romantic sexual partner despite desiring one. That's the internet's definition. Yeah. What's your definition, Carlito?
Insult comes from, you know, it's a combination of two words, involuntary celibate. So it's brought together to say insult.
Oh fuck, I've never known that.
yeah. So as in like you're celibate, but it's not your choice.
I don't want to be here.
It was coined by a woman.
talking about her own experiences as a woman who couldn't get men because, you know, there's attractive capital, there's like beauty capital. So as in this, like, she was now talking about it in a very serious way, but then this was vocabulary that was appropriated for, you know, now these niggas we see now.
Yeah.
That's
this niggas.
That's the history.
This niggas. And I feel like also, as I said, like with the online era, I hate what I'm saying, or as I said, like these people were in the conversation with us outside. Anyways, I'm just referring to the spirit. Mm-hmm. So as I said, like with the online culture and like things like Reddit and Twitter, like incels have found a community, mm-hmm. which is very dangerous because once you find a community, you find validation, and then you don't want to leave that community because mm-hmm. you have validation. Mm-hmm. And so you just continue perpetuating these ideas mm-hmm. of incelism. When literally I saw some other this cut video of like, oh, have you met an incel? Mm-hmm. And then I'm just there like you meet an incel and then like you ask them questions like through like a red blind, like you just ask them certain questions, and then like majority of first of all incels is just you have a some sort of inferiority complex that has made you subscribe to such ideals. Also in this homosocial groups, as we had said, whenever you don't get bitches, you know, there's this ridicule that you face. And because now that you faced ridicule and ostracization from your boys, you go now, instead of hitting the system of which is fragile masculinity, you hit the women. And then you become basically an incel.
This thing they talk about on incel forums, they call it taking the black pill. So okay,
the red and blue pill. Do you know that like that whole thing was invented by a trans woman?
Yes, actually,
that's so interesting.
full of contradictions. You know,
literally full of contradictions. Like
Anyway, so incel separates now men into chads and betas. So they see chads as the only people who can get girls
because they are 6 foot, they are fit,
and like that's they see that that's
the ideal.
It's not like you can't do anything to be a chad. You're either born a chad or you're not a chad. So yeah. As in like them, they see their portion in life. They can either subscribe to, you know, being a beta, or they can now pick taking the black pill now to be the incel they are now.
Yeah.
So for them, like, it's very, you know, okay, when you get really into them, like when you really go into them, they get really, you know, eugenicsy. Like it's just not eugenicsy, but like, you know, they say it's just a few millimeters of skull that's separated from being a child. Like I'm not attractive, and that's the reason why
women are
and they blame women
instead of blaming
like the system that has
exactly the system. Like it's like someone said, how we get mad at award shows, like, oh, there are no black people winning enough Grammys, but then we don't look at the systemic issue that black people are so systemically disabled that they do not want to send their children to art schools, and thus we do not have enough black artists. You see, like, you're not getting mad at the system, you're getting mad at the
people who are honestly like suffering under the system.
Exactly.
Women are the innocent party in this. Like,
literally, what have women done? What have
women done, you know? So you've been ostracized by your friends, the people you thought they were your friend, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, with insult, they're not like particularly badly looking, you know, they do this thing called catastrophizing. Tell us what catastrophizing is, Peter.
Yes, okay, let me tell ContraPoints, our Lord and Savior. Please go watch ContraPoints essays, their video essays. They're the best.
Maybe she's listening.
Maybe she will. Yeah, if she starts a cult, just know we're there. Would you join a cult or?
I would lead a cult.
Ah, yeah, you're more of a legend. Oh, yeah. You're such a Gemini. Fuck. I feel like I would be... I don't want to lead a cult. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to be like the high priest of the cult.
Oh,
yes. Because I feel like high priest is just... I don't know. I don't like attention that mm-hmm. much. Mm-hmm. But then I like power. Mm-hmm. And I don't like... I feel like I'm very content with very, mm-hmm. like... just having some amount of power, mm-hmm. and just having like that, you know,
being recognized.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Yeah, I feel like I'd be a high priest of cult. Anyways, let's sidetrack. Let's go back. Mm-hmm. Catastrophizing is a cognitive distortion where anxiety or depression leads you to infer apocalyptic conclusions from mundane setbacks and anxieties.
Okay.
So
let's bring that back down.
Let's go.
So, like, this is an ordinary guy who has faced now a normal like negative experience with women. Like,
let's say he was broken up with,
or the girl just wasn't feeling him.
Yeah, anymore.
So now he goes from, oh no, this girl isn't feeling me. Oh no, girls don't like me.
Oh no.
Oh no.
I'll be alone forever.
Oh no. I'll die alone. Oh no. I'll never be happy. Oh no. This was women's fault.
Oh, because
no, I hate women.
Exactly. I'm in this place because of women.
Yeah. It's slow build up, but now.
So you go down that rabbit hole.
Very off, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
From this one innocuous situation, you build up to this whole.
So you make it literally a storm out of a teacup, and then
basically.
So, oh my, not losing class for fucking sayings.
I love that saying. That saying eight.
That's
it. Hard to be
in a composition. You write. Yeah, oof, I ate that.
Eight. My God.
Uh-huh. Anyway,
so as in, you create these catastrophic scenarios out of a very innocuous situation.
Exactly.
So as in. You get rejected sometimes, like
that's, I make it a norm because
that's where it comes with. Because if you're getting rejected, that means you're trying something, you know.
And so, I feel like because men view women as objects, so when they face rejection from these women, it even hurts more because they already have some sense of entitlement over them, you know. And so once they are pushed away or ostracized by these women, it's such a personal thing because. They already thought, oh, I've done the work, this woman is mine forever. Mm-hmm. And as long as they, you know, like, so it's very personal. And it just shows how men, like, extremely lack emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And then get into situationships thinking, because, you know, you've paid for the date, you don't have to show any part of
deserve,
your... You deserve, exactly.
You deserve the sex,
you deserve the woman, which is really not the case.
No, it's not. It's like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's never the case. It's not gonna happen. Okay. It's not.
Yeah. So that's where it comes from. It's this. You put yourself as this victim. You know, like no, it's not that. As in, just chill. You will get rejected. You brush yourself off, and you go again.
And you move on. No.
So. Yeah.
You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Just work on yourself and move on.
Yeah. Heal. Stop being boring.
Exactly. Go, I'll do whatever men used to do. Go climb a fucking mountain. You know, go hunt a buffalo. Do something to get out of that headspace. Mm-hmm. And don't lead yourself in, because the internet now is just basically a bunch of loopholes. You'll find yourself watching a 5-minute ab workout and then you continue and now you're in a Joe Rogan podcast. You're wondering how the fuck on earth did I even get here? So if you do not have any sense of agency and if everything is dictated by your boys.
Yeah, and like this thing that men are talking about, the friend zone, invented by friends. That show has done a lot of damage on humanity. And I
oh
will
my
not
God.
Stop talking about it.
Fuck.
That's sort of fun that day. Anyway, the friend zone thing, which men are so against, which men are so need. But no, as I don't think you'd see it like that. Perspective is important. I think you see as in like. This woman who wants to be your friend. Like, you're learning how to talk to women.
Woman, exactly.
To interact with women. What women like, what women want. So, as in, like, you're gaining insights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of seeing it as this rejection thing, see it as, you know, this is a person who wants to be my friend, you know. So, as in, like, try to be her friend as well. You
get to
know what,
and like know? Remove all missions from your head and just interact for God's sake. You know, you will learn so much from someone. It's just
and it's going to make you more attractive.
Literally. I don't know where this concept of being a hard, no feelings type of man came from, because who said women like that? You know, that's the thing. We, like, may I just want to see, like, all these things that men say women like have come from men.
Yeah.
None of them are coming from women. Mm-hmm. Women are just like, okay, this is existing. Mm-hmm. Like, if just listen and, you know, just interact with, like, it will be fine, you know, and stop viewing, like, every woman in your life as a sexual conquest, you know. Mm-hmm. You could be friends with women. There's a reason why they are more than us, you know. Like, it's not for you to conquer everyone, it's for you just to interact and to be a better person in life. That's that simple. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Don't feel a friend zone.
Welcome it.
Just take every experience with curiosity.
Fuck out his soul. Let you jump it out of the friend zone. Stay in it, nigga. Stay in it. It would help you get more bitches, actually.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, yeah. Because I feel like we have to talk as, you know, as bros also. So, like, you can also listen, because this is advice to you niggers.
That one person who's listening.
You'll
get so much play.
Imagine, like, literally, but all of, like, majority of my podcast is actually male listeners.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm very surprised. I checked last time, it was 59% are men.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, nigga, skiza.
It's for you, girl.
It's for you. Sit down. Speaking of incels, I feel like we can't go without talking about the king. And I told a king of incels, and I told myself last time I wasn't going to give Andrew Tate, like, time and day in this fucking podcast of mine. But for God's sake, like, this man has really, like, he's built a whole fucking career in following. 11.6 billion views under his name as of 28th of October last year. 11.6 billion views. Mm-hmm. He was literally one of the most talked about men last year. And it's so crazy, because this man, and because the internet is so unregulated, his views on things are literally also, like, they're accessible to everyone. So your small brother at the age of, like, 7, 8, who, you know, is getting cooties talking to girls, also is going to TikTok and listening to fucking Andrew Tate. I know how damaging that is for a future generation of men who are supposed to, you know, do better and relate better to women. What's your take on that? Why do you think it was so popular?
I mean, okay, I think men, especially men, gravitate towards Andrew Tate because he sells this idea of the world and life and gender rules and sex as clearly defined, and that at the top of these hierarchies is men. Like, he defines the world in one way, and then now he says at the top is men. He defines gender roles in one way. And then at the top of the hierarchy is men. That means only male perspectives, only male pleasure, only male interests matter, or that they matter more, basically. And we live in a basically misogynistic society. So as in, like, people do, they see that, okay, to an extent, he's saying something that I've seen in life, you know.
Yeah.
So as in, not only is he pointing out something that they've seen, but also it's rewarding for them, as in, oh, you think that I'm at the top, like, I am, you know, the man, I am the man.
Everything, like, boils down to, you know, validation. Jesus Christ.
Literally. So as in, like, as a man, you're defined with what you have, what you can provide. He defines it as that. And in a capitalist context,
exactly,
that's very misogyny, because you see, you know, a lot of people are disempowered. So as in, like,
by capitalism, you don't have a quote unquote really good job, or, like, your business is not doing so well. And so, like, whenever you see this, very, because Andrew Tate was not talking in, like, small, he was talking in his big cars,
in his
mansions and everything. You feel empowered. You're like, to reach this, to attain this mindset is also to attain these things, you know, in life. And which is really not the case.
It's not the case. And then now he offers these courses. Now these men can go through to become like him. But it's all a grift. Like,
it's literally
a rich man same lame, you know.
Like, yeah.
As in, it's the same fucking loser.
Literally the same fucking, like, loser. Just with more money.
You know, but in a capitalist society, in a capitalist context, we see that the money itself is a sign of virtue. So we end up trying to take it as in, like, okay, he has so much money, then he must know what he's talking about.
Oh my gosh. You know? Yeah, that's why they feel empowered, because like he's broken the system. Not broken the system, he's excelled in the system.
You know, so as in like there has to be something that he's doing that is correct.
Exactly.
From it.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. It's really not. He's lying to you. You know, like there's something he said that stuck out with me. Apart from like the clearly misogynistic, terrible things
exactly.
he said. Something that he said about, sex is boring. You just get there and you and then it's over. You know, and that is very telling. This is the person who is not good at sex. This is
Who's been playing a role?
Who? Approach this from the sense of, oh, I'm doing this for status. I'm doing this for money. Like, he pays, you know, he's not good. He doesn't approach this from the point of pleasure, point of like intimacy, in point of like emotional connection, the point of, so as in like, it's just as sort of simple for him.
Exactly.
Know? So, like, that's what I was like, nah.
What the fuck is, exactly? What the fuck is this nonsense he's spewing?
Nah, sex is only boring if you're not participating, if you're not getting in tune with what your partner needs, if you're not pursuing your own.
You're making the sex boring.
You're making the sex boring. And that's on you, girl.
That's on you. Literally. And then now because you've made sex such a role, you understand? Mm. You've made sex like, not even like the objective is even not to please a woman. The objective is just to do it to gain social capital and just to do it to assert yourself as a man. Mm-hmm. There's no pleasure that's coming out of it. You understand? Mm-hmm. And that's like really perpetuity, like very, like that's why men, I think, cheat a lot, because they are looking for something. It's like you're looking for that pleasure, but then because you don't know that pleasure can come from within, mm-hmm. you're going around fucking every single thing that lives, mm-hmm. but then you're still empty inside, because there's nothing that's coming from that those sexual conquests, because you've taken everything as sex as a role. You understand? You're not even thinking about this other person, and it's very.
It's something, all right.
Like, oof. I feel, also, my take on this Andrew Tate guy mm-hmm. is that also, like, people who harbor these very misogynistic schools of thought are also, like, capable of acting on them. Because him and some friends have been charged for human trafficking and rape charges. So, like, whenever someone is saying such things on, like, you know, it's crazy how people are looking up to a human trafficker and a rapist, you know, and I hate that whole culture for what do you call it? Guilty until proven, whatever. No, it's innocent until proven guilty and all of that nonsense. But you can see clearly that he went to Romania because they have less of, what do you call it, these less strict laws on human trafficking there. Mm. And so he hid out there. And then now when the cops came for him, it's crazy. You saw how many men. Did you see how many men were outside, the Romanian courts rioting for him? That's madness. It all boils down to validation and community. These men have their group leader, basically. That whole group leader phenomenon. But yeah, that their group leader is in jail. And so, like, they've all come together to rile up for him.
Their daddy.
It's reminded me of that certain meme, like, what do you call it? Let my nigga go. He do nothing, your honor. Literally, y'all are his bitches. Mm. Literally. Trying to get daddy Andrew Tate out of jail.
Yeah. Like
be something, which is being for real. Like, be fucking for real. BFFR right now.
FFR.
Oh gosh.
But you know, the response like you get is really like, oh yeah, how na pesa kaya? So why are you speaking on it? You know.
Yeah.
But like, fairs. But like, you know, money is not. The money is everything. I can't say anything to that really. But like, from. Thought inspires words, words inspire action. So from the words he says, from how he talks about women, it's really clear to say, like, He probably did that shit.
You know? Exactly.
There's audio tips of him doing that shit, of him confessing to whatever. So as in, there's really no justification for it. He's a terrible human
being. He's a terrible human being, and he shouldn't have gotten all the views that he got. Yeah. And also, I feel like us people who are against him should have also not engaged at all.
Yeah, okay. Usually, like, your outrage ends up still fueling engagement.
Exactly. Yeah. And then now, he just gets double engagement from both opposing sides and
now the people who are for him, you know.
Exactly. And that's just he went for those moral panic topics. And then once you create moral panic topics, like, and you have such a platform, everyone will now you become even a topic on podcasts like mine that have nothing to do with your ideals or whatever you spew on the internet.
Talking about him, so we can't talk about him. So
imagine that bald-headed fuck.
And as in, he got himself arrested on Twitter for see the Greta Thunberg and whatever and how he like he got himself arrested trying a comeback against a 19-year-old.
Literally,
you're literally 36.
Oh my god! Like, but Greta was that bitch. Greta was that. I loved it. I was like, perfect. Perfect.
You know? Like, you are all completely, like...
Anyway. You're even at loss of words.
But I digress.
Also, what do you call it? Speaking of capitalism, as we had said earlier, I feel like men entered in this really radicalized group because there is some sort of radicalization that's happening now. Like a lot of people, especially in Gen Z, are like going away from these very white Christian ideals that have been, you know, that were put for us during colonialism and all of that. That, you know, like we're going away from capitalism, we're going away from religion, you know, and it's not really like a mass, it is kind of like a mass going away, but like a few of us are, you know, gaining introspect on these things and we're like, that's really not for us. And so once a situation, that's why I say men's claim to oppression is very weak, because men have, because now we're going to equality, and equality for people who have been privileged is oppression. So like now that this shift in time is happening, there has to be rifts, and these rifts are these very radicalized incels on Reddit and Twitter who consistently go against women and queer folk for just existing. And then they find validation in those groups. So yeah, I feel like for this, okay. I feel like, what do you call it?
Can I help you out?
Yes, please do.
Let me help you out. So I think you are talking about now how men's claim to oppression, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Do men have a claim to oppression? I mean,
Bombokla.
There's this book that's now
Atomic Habits.
Not Atomic Habits, but like
I've seen every nigga with that book. I'm like, okay.
Nah. I'm talking about it's some book which says that it's really not that men have advantages on account of them being men, but it's just powerful men who have those advantages, you know, like it's just now the king. It's more of a class issue than a gender issue.
Exactly.
And well, there is some truth to that, yes. Like I can empathize with that. I can empathize with that worldview, like that it's not men who profit, just men in power, you know?
Yeah.
So well, I can empathize with that. That's as in like, yes, I can empathize with that, yes. It's not a bad analysis, but like in our day-to-day, you still have advantages that women just simply do not
have. Exactly.
Like the advantage of safety, the advantage of being seen as, you know, competent. Like, you know, a guy will say something and like, no one will really try to challenge it, even though he might be speaking out of his ass. But like,
literally out of his ass.
A woman says, and like suddenly, oh, all of a sudden, it's being questioned.
Exactly. And it's so much to like, assert themselves as men, because a woman will state something and then people will go to such illogical schools of thought to just try and, you know, discredit what this woman has said, which is
suddenly even becomes an expert.
Suddenly, and then people are just spewing nonsense, as you said, talking out your ass. Like, nigga, shut the fuck up. What have you just said? Mm-hmm. Like, and people have such... I don't even know where people get these facts from. Like, now if you, like... Sorry for, like, going away from the topic. But, like, now if you look at this, like, whole transphobia thing, like, the basis of it is very... A lot of people just say things. Like, I see all this... if you watch Cut, if you watch, like, Jubilee, and you see these people who sit in middle ground, like, all these transphobes, what they're speaking, I have never heard of these things in my life. And you're like, where have you... Where has this come from, you know? And it's not from the fact that they're making up stuff to validate themselves. They're making up stuff to discredit a whole group because it doesn't sit right with them that people should go against the norm that they are comfortable within themselves. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like, just chill. Everyone has an opinion. And I wish people could talk about like opposing opinions in such a city like this instead of literally like going above and beyond to discredit someone. What has masculinity done for you? Like, you know, like what has masculinity? You're literally in your bedsitter in Ruaka watching football right now. What has masculinity done for you? What has, like, what are these things that we hold so dear in our brains and that we love talking about? What have they done for you? Physically, what have they manifested for you that you think that you enjoy so much that you have to always consistently, you know, engage in these topics all the time?
Personally, I just find like now it's the strength kindness disconnect. People like it's just, you know, you cannot, if you're not strong, you cannot be kind. So as in like, yeah, generally for me, it just I don't bother with it because like, not strong, you cannot be kind, and why would I engage with you? You know,
literally, like,
you focus on working the whole thing out,
yeah. Focus on you, and then we'll talk later. We'll handle that later.
There's just no point in engaging, like,
exactly.
Why, you know, like this is a personal truth from someone else, which really don't affect you,
literally.
And you know, like historically, as in trans people face a lot of stigma, they face a lot of this is someone who's doing. Who's really struggling, people who have been needed from their parents, people who have been disowned and all that. So the least you could do is some kindness, like,
you know, some empathy.
Jinx.
Nice. Jinx. Jinx. Oh, miss what
I
know.
I said it fast, babe. Anyway. Yeah, but okay, I will empathize with men on this fact. Like this thing, men are generally seen, like they are either invisible or they are viewed as a threat, and so as in when
and also like they don't have like inherent value till they start owning things physically.
That's now capitalism.
That's capitalism.
So now like when you're not seen, when you're not heard, when you're not
given the time of day,
you know, as in like now ContraPoints were talking about how she transitioned from being a man to being a woman, and she found that she really liked being a woman because people are always so willing to help, you know, this damsel is disgusting, and how she loves the attention, you know. she's just like me for real.
Like and women support each other in
you're seen by both men and women, even though the male gaze might be sometimes harmful, sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're like, oh, let me get your bags for you.
Exactly.
For you, you know, like being seen on that level.
Literally. Sometimes I remember like very subtle experiences. Like we had lived in the SGR with my sister, and then there was so much jam on the escalator, and me, I hate people. So, and I'm very aggressive and impatient. So I was like, I'm carrying my bag down these stairs. I don't give a fuck. So my sister was doing the same. So I'm walking. I reach downstairs with my sister. My sister has no bag. Oh, I'm like, what the fuck? Literally, a man who's carrying another bag comes and drops the bag near her. And I'm just there like, wait, what? And then my sister's like, I didn't even talk to him. He just took my bag. No, like, literally, that's how, like, the male gaze kind of, like, you know, helps sometimes. You know, catcalling can be, as we said, catcalling is very dehumanizing experience.
But sometimes you've really eaten on outfits and, like, someone just
validates you. Like, you look amazing.
Really good, you know.
Exactly.
And you know, like that it feels
validation is so amazing. And also, women will be validated by other women, as you see in posts of girls. Like, they'll be like, "Oh, bestie, you look amazing."
You know how it is, like. Putting yourself out there is very, you know,
like
it's an anxiety inducing experience.
Exactly.
So all that validation does come to
that's, you know, and makes you more confident. And that's why women are more like open in social spaces and like you know, they are more likely to be influencers because they get validation a lot from other women. You see that in clubs. Oh, babe, you look so nice. Babe, you need a tampon. Like, as in, like, they so. If men were having periods, none of us would be giving each other tampons. And like, literally, you're like, oh, bro, why are you having this? Why do you have mine? Like, why do you want mine? What do you need? Like, you know. And I've also, because there's so much of like an end goal with men. That you can't just do anything out of kindness. You understand? It's always something. Yeah. And that's why, like, women kind of resent catcalling from men because, like, oh, hi, you look so nice. And I was like, can I buy you a drink? Can I take you home? You see, not you look nice, you move on with your life.
You move on with your life. Literally
yeah.
Something, you know.
It will always just be for something.
Yeah. So, as in, being seen.
Yeah.
I do like that. And then also, like, when you're man, you're either invisible or you're seen as a threat. As in, like, yes, it's true that, like, it's harmful what men have done. As in, like, really, men have been very fucked up and, like, they've made women feel unsafe in literally all the areas. But sometimes, like, it's now you on the hand of now. Someone is scared of you just for the pain of existing.
Yeah.
And, like, yes, it's not as big of a knee, but, like, it still has an effect, you know.
Like, yeah.
This person is scared of me because of this.
Exactly.
It challenges the notion of people have this inherent notion that they're good people, you know, like,
yeah.
People, it's important to people that they feel that they're good people. That's why, as in, like, it's very hard for people to admit when they've done wrong. It challenges their concepts of being a good person.
Yeah.
So, like, when this happens, it does do that. It does, there's something there. Even, it's not as big an issue, but still, like, you know,
exactly,
it's something to be said, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, as in, there are boys, I will empathize with you there,
yeah,
I will empathize with us there,
yeah, I will empathize with us there,
but otherwise, do be working on yourself,
do better,
do be working.
I feel like accountability. Number one, take accountability, literally, take accountability of your actions. You know, be aware of your surrounding and society. Be aware of the people you're talking to. And also, lifestyle. Like, incorporate very, like, healthy things into your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not only take away, like, not only just, just take away the whole bar. Not bar. Take off the bars that, in the jail that masculinity has put you in. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, just exist outside of it. You know, like, make sure you have a lifestyle that caters to you. And also, like, just some things, like, do not really, like, take away from your masculinity. You being clean, you being a well-adjusted human being, you going for therapy, you doing feminine things does not take away. Talking about your feelings does not take away from your masculinity. You don't need to climb a mountain, join the army, shoot a cow. You don't need to do any of those things to assert yourself masculine. And if you have to, don't make it everyone's fucking problem. If you want
define your masculinity
exactly, in your own way. If you want to go to the army and die, do that. But don't think, don't become on TikTok and be like, what men used to be. Shut the fuck up. You know, me, the way I start my masculinity is making cakes and, you know, relax in the house and reading books and, not reading books really, but watching series and watching films. And things that I enjoy as a person is me asserting myself, you know, in my masculinity and also my femininity, because I feel like everyone has a side of both.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a pendulum that's swinging. And you know, you're not supposed to find equality in both, actually. But, like, just whichever side swinging more, make sure you embrace that, you know. And do you.
Human experience is so large and so beautiful. So
find
a way to nurture everything that is within you.
Because and don't confine yourself.
You're the only person to have access like you, and imagine. You end up saying no to
as in
you're one of one. Yeah. You're the only one.
The only one. As in literally the unique mix of you has never happened.
Exactly.
Never happened. So like, you know, do try to honor that. Do try to, you know, honor the call to authenticity, to authenticity to yourself, you know. Regardless of whatever other people say, regardless of the external messaging, because we get a lot of external messaging about what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman, and then now we internalize these messages, and then now it becomes ourselves perpetuating our own
exactly pressure. So we're literally playing a role, we're acting
like you receive all this external messaging, and then now you internalize that shit, and then now it becomes something that governs what you do, even though it's not something you do.
You're just doing that for validation and community
to subscribe to this idea of normal, this oppressive idea of normal,
which was created by some white man, honestly.
By some fucking white man, you know.
like it's not, and you know, also read a book.
Honor yourself, read a book.
Read a book, because niggas really need to start reading books. Because if you're going to unlearn from the social conditioning that has been happening for all these years, you can't do that without lack of information. So read a book, listen to podcasts like this.
Yes.
You know, who will literally take time out of our days to come and sit and educate you on these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and learn and be a better person. That's literally, be a productive member of society. And that's all. That's all for me. That's all for me, honestly. And you?
What for me? Honestly, like, try to be interesting as well. Like, you know.
Find a personality.
Like, I don't know. I don't think it's hard being interesting. It's gonna be something that like intrigues you to end. But no. As in, like,
I just try to be interesting.
Hear me out. Like, you have something to be about. You know, like, as in, have something to be about. Like, have something that's yours to be about. Like, not yours, but like a niche. You know,
literally.
Like, mostly, like, football. I love football. And I do love football. Like,
I don't.
I know. You know. I love football, and like, I do. As in, it's one of my, you know, it's one of my closet hobbies. Like,
you don't want anyone knowing.
Exactly. I don't even know.
Because it's very cliche.
It's very cliche. You know. I don't like that. I don't do that. I do enjoy. You know. So as in, like, get out of your comfort zone, because I feel like for most guys, being interested in like football, that's a comfort zone.
That's the thing, zone, you know? And it's like me, I keep on saying, we can't be all these niggas in the planet and all of us like football. That's a lie. Some of you are actually lying. Some of you are actually lying, and stop winning. Like, please, for the like, stop lying. You're lying. No, you're lying. That game is not in. I'm sorry to say this. I have tried. I'm like, you know, because I don't want to be like, it's really gas.
As in, that's one of my things. I like it. Like,
it's
like, as in, like, okay, sometimes the players care so much about each other that, as in, like,
I remember Zolesa Street. Mm-hmm. Zolesa Street is one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. During World Cup, remember that Mbappe and Giroud, like, whatever they were doing. And then Zolesa tweeted, like, oh, this is what football is. Mm-hmm. You know, where episode should I start from? Mm-hmm. Because the romance, the love, the connection. Oh, wow.
I love that. Like,
and the thing is, it's not really. I feel like it's not even really gay. I feel like it's just men embracing men,
and they can explore emotions.
Exactly,
emotion to each other.
Exactly.
Like, okay, to the male part of your audience, who's a majority. I think most of you watch football. Like, now Argentina and the World Cup. Like, those players were playing for Messi. Like, I will give everything for Messi. I will do anything for this man. Like,
you know,
that's an expression of emotion, love. An expression of love, an expression of, you know,
gratitude.
Like,
I will all these emotions,
everything on the pitch. You know, like that's emotional. That's something. That's you something know. Other than like what you've been doing. You know, like
with your life.
Yeah, like that's something. It's not just street. It's devotion. I care about this. I care about this to an. Insane extent, you know?
Exactly.
Like, there was this player called DePaul who like used to be literally Messi's bodyguard on the pitch. So if anyone would foul him, he would be right there to now push that player away. You know.
Oh wow,
that's good shit.
You know the love, like, the protection.
You know.
Okay. Will you explain in it? The thing is, why I didn't like football is and it's the aggression around it that I used to hate. Because I remember in high school, guys brought football and like people are starting to shout and break chairs and do all of these things. I'm just like, it's really, nigga, it's not that deep. You know, it's not that deep. And so I've just like kind of, you know, sidetracked myself away from that. Because it's, what to me, I don't, like, I won't mind like watching a match, but I can't, I don't have the attention span for 90 minutes to see niggas kicking a ball.
And then another thing, that is in like, niggas have this tendency of like when a girl or a woman just enters in football, they now start quizzing him about CG. Who was the goalkeeper of Morocco in 1986? Bitch.
No one gives a fuck.
This is literally someone who's like, no,
express their interest.
Who's trying to get interest.
Exactly.
And then now you're trying to be an asshole like that.
And then you think it's for me. It's really not. She's just interested in it. Like, as in, and people stop doing things as a trend. Why I'm saying people don't like football is when F1 came to Nairobi, not at all of you niggas now are F1 fans. Please, BFFR. Like, you're lying. Someone is lying.
For me, F1, it's the car that goes the vroomest.
literally. Me, it's for the person that looks the best. Yeah.
It's Hamilton. It's just always
exactly.
Hamilton.
And Hamilton is the only person I know. Yeah. Everyone else. And then there's another time I was told about a player called Pierre someone. I was like, my name.
Nice.
You see, so now I support them. You see, the thing is, it's just very, like, as you've said, be interested. There are so many. As someone who doesn't involve myself in sports, I'm trying to tell you there are so many other things to watch.
You can
watch.
Be a film, bro. You can be. You can
being a film, bro, is so amazing. It's so amazing. I love being a film, bro. I love it. Yesterday, I finally watched The Grand Budapest Hotel. 10 out of 10.
Literally
10 out of 10
everything to me.
10 out of 10 I opened a letterbox, so I'm like, I'm working on it. Same. I will follow each other. I'll even link both our letterboxes on the bio. Yes. But I've just started this year, so I've just watched a few films. So yeah, I'm thinking of watching like 2 films a week. Yeah, so I can reach like 100+ films at the end of this year.
Nice.
Exactly. The thing is, there's also very like white bland films that I'm just like
I'll be your guide, girl.
Please do, because me, I need to see niggas on the screen, like
good movies,
or not even niggas, just I just need to see good movies, you know. Exactly, because sometimes these white people, they be eating, they be munching.
Right now in this 3-month period between November and January, now my favorite film has been Black Swan.
I haven't watched Black Swan.
You should watch it.
Some of the pictures.
Like, Black Swan is so good.
What's that about?
So good. It's about a ballerina. It's about so many things. It's about artistry. It's about passion. It's about. There's just so many things. I'll link you. I'll send you all the video essays.
Please.
But surface level, it's about a ballerina who's trying to perform the black swan. It's a routine now. The both black and the white swan. So she has to access the deviant part of herself, her darkness, so to speak. To be able to do it. She can do the white swan because, as in, like, that's what she... Perfection, you know.
Yeah.
In, like,
the
by the book, perfection. And that she's really deviant for, like... her whole life, but now she needs to get out of her routine.
She needs to be a raven now.
She needs to be now a black swan, you know.
Black
swan. And then now my favorite character was now the teacher who now guided her there, because like it's just so that you have potential to be a black swan, but you just need to unleash
the darkness.
Wow, it's so good. Like genuinely, like I love Black Swan.
I feel like we're entering our entertainment segment. Yeah, so to close up on men, we're singing the 2.5 Men song, theme song. 1, 2, 3, go.
Fuck, I haven't watched it.
You've never heard Oh Bitch.
I might cancel it.
Yes, you are. Okay, I'll sing it myself. 1, 2, 3, go. Men, men, manly, manly, men, men, men. Ooh. Men, 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 manly, men. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Men, men, manly, manly, men. Ooh. Men, men, manly, men, men, men. Aha, men. Yeah, applause. Now. Because what do you mean you don't know that theme song? I fucking hate you, Carl. That was so planned out well in my head.
I'm so sorry, babe.
Fuck
so
you.
Sorry. As in.
So now we go to our entertainment segment. Uh-huh. You know, what have you been listening to?
What have I been listening to?
I can't get my phone because it's all the way there. But like, I can't think.
I know. let me just talk to him.
It's Ice Spice's ear.
Oh, of course.
We love Ice Spice.
I feel like that won't really say anything about me. Because of course, Ice Spice.
Is that Kanye?
No, I'm just glad to push me. I'm like, a
oh my god.
You're now cancelled. Okay, I'm so sorry. No, but I feel like listening from Kanye, like it's very much separating the art from the artist.
Oh my god, you know, as in like I was like, that shit is bullshit, the art is not even from the artist, but like with Kanye I just
like that's the real embodiment of separating the art from the artist, because I'll still listen to Bound to me. I'm very sorry.
Ooh. Like so Ooh. Much Bound to Ooh. What I honestly he'll think Billy what I say and I will forgive him for everything.
Me, I'll never forgive him for not releasing New Body. Anyways, we move on. You just released another single, but we move on. But I didn't even like New Body because of Kanye's part. Like, Nicki is the one who embodied that shit. But thank God for SoundCloud. Anyways.
That's true. That's
yeah.
True. I've been listening to Kanye. I've been listening to SZA, obviously.
The new album. Let's talk about it. As an avid SZA fan.
Okay, you're the expert here.
I feel like I was a SZA fan page before I even became an Instagram.
I know.
Oh my god, like it's been I will say that I can't compare Control in the sense that Control was very raw. Control is a very raw album. It was very sentimental. It was very, she's a Scorpio, so it was very nigga, I need you, why you not here, you know, type of energy. And now we've diverted to a point where it's violence with emotion. Mm-hmm. You understand? Which is also still very Scorpio. Mm-hmm. Very, fuck you, nigga. Mm-hmm. Why don't you... Well, you're like, as in, you're not doing the things I'm, like... As in, I'm stepping into this person, but you're, like, behind. Like, it's very... You know, like, when you see songs like Kill Bill, Seek and Destroy, you know, Forgiveless. They're bangers, but also they don't align with kind of, like, what's going on in the world right now, which is, like, healing. And, you know, like, just moving from the past. I feel like all of us are going through those phases. Like, collective healing, like, from high school experiences, our fucking parents. Like, you know. And so I feel like it didn't abide with that message, but also... I found validation because me, I have hate in my heart. And so listening to that song, kind of just those things like got it out. Also, it was like a 23 song album. And for you to succeed with a 23 song album is very hard. So props to her. Generally, I give it 17 out of 10. But because, you know, I love SZA so much. And I feel like those songs are you could see emotions of anger rather than the sentimental spiritual season that we're used to.
Okay.
And which is a new take, and because she has grown, it is 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't expect the same shit from someone. So yeah, SOS is not really a cry for help in my sense. SOS is acknowledgement of my issues but choosing choosing to not like work on them. Mm-hmm. But also like niggas are shit at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So there's that very much element of her being hurt by men, which, you know, it sucks because SZA is amazing as fuck. I'm also glad that she, you know, cleared the BBL rumors because you know.
And let me stop it even before you go. You know, as in like, I feel like this is how to be interesting. Like, you get into a topic where, as in like, it's an album, but like for you, you've filled it in to have meaning, you know.
Exactly.
To gain meaning from the simple things.
Yeah.
That's what being interesting is.
Yes.
It's to being weirdly obsessive about something. Whereas in like, now I know so much about this, but can I talk about this with you? You know.
Yeah.
That's what being interesting is.
That,
you know,
actually that like is
finding meaning in even in anything, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's okay. I mean, I'm like, SZA and me, we see each other. We see each other. Like, and I love her so much. And I'm a Taurus. She's a Scorpio. We're twin flames. I feel like we're just destined to be friends. She doesn't know me yet. So yeah.
Be listening. I'll put this in her DMs.
Yeah, please do.
We respond on a
you know
on a week.
You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Caesar is. I like how she said. Yeah, you know, the butt is fake, and she looks amazing as fuck. Like, let's just be honest.
The doctors,
Kill Bill, when she was tied up, ooh, babe was looking so sexy.
Yes.
Damn. So yeah, Caesar, 10 out of 10. Honestly, loved everything about it, and yeah, can't wait for the last question. Do you know Frank Ocean? And Tyler, the creator, was supposed to be on the album, but they didn't send their verses on time. This is why I hate niggas. Like, this is why I fucking hate niggas. What do you fucking mean?
Oh my days.
Village was saying the girls didn't send their verses on time. Frank, Tyler, I know Summer is going to be in the deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Summer was meant to be in the deluxe. What do you mean, Frank and Tyler? What have they been doing?
They're also on the deluxe.
I don't think they are. I don't know if they are.
Oh, no.
And also, Caesar has had a very rough relationship with her
label.
And, you know, yes, as I said this many times, she went from being the most, you know, underrated artist in the label to literally the one who is the most outstanding, exactly, mm-hmm. artist now. And so the way they misuse her is... And the way they have power over her because of contract, it's so sad to see. I feel like she deserves so much better. Yeah. But for Caesar, that was amazing. That was an amazing album. And I love that she drops this shit every single December. Like, she fucking loves Christmas. So, yeah, I love that. What else have we been listening to?
What else have I been listening to?
Kali Uchis came out with the best fucking song. Oh my God. I Wish You Roses will listen to it. As in, please, before I can't, she's back. Mm-hmm. Kali is back. Kali Uchis is back. I'm so excited.
New songs, Rema with that new song of his. It was
really, which one?
It was really good. It's called Are You Something. But also, more importantly, Ndungubidhi with Stangojea. It finally dropped.
Listen to Kenyan artists. We listen to Kenyan artists.
We do listen to Kenyan artists.
Like, listen to my girl Zoe Kogacha. Kiss was such a nice song.
It's so good.
You know? So good.
As in, wow. I love to see
Kenyan
grow.
Exactly. Yeah. Kenyan artists grow. I love it. What else have we... Speaking of Kenyan artists, go with her to Rain Machine by Wanja Wohoro.
Nice.
She's really amazing. She's, you know Lupita, yeah?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know Lupita. The brother is, Wanja Wohoro is the wife. So, yeah, to the brother. So, yeah. They're like, I've loved Wanja Wohoro since youth. Like me, that has been my girl. She's very much, you know, earthy, very, such a nice tone, very nice. Her voice is just amazing. So go do yourself a favor and go listen to Rain Machine and just cry, because it's a really nice song.
We came, we saw, we ate.
I feel like we should just end it there. We came, we saw, we ate. We can't end it there because.
Uh-huh.
Guess who has finally a page? We have an Instagram page. Yes, I know. We are literally separating the art from the artist. Yeah. We have an Instagram page now. Yes, at TGZ Podcast. Mm-hmm. That's at TGZ Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very, what do you call it, inconsistent with this podcast. In the sense that I'm like, I think I had a lack of inspiration, which it's not laziness, it's literally a lack of inspiration. I didn't know what I was doing.
School and work
at the same time. And I feel like I've been very, like, this has been my passion and I've just neglected it. So this year is going to be a change from that. So you're going to see me everywhere. You're going to get... Prepare to be sick of me. And I feel like it's just basically compensation from... the mistreatment I've given this child of mine. You see, like I am the father who's come back. You know, I went for the milk and actually came back. So, I'm back. Please interact with my page at TGZ. Cool. That is home. You know, at TGZ podcast, like TGZ, whatever TGZ podcast. Like literally, text me, DM me. I'll be posting clips from the episodes, both video clips and both clips from, like, you know, just tease y'all about, like, the season and everything.
I love teasing.
Yeah, I love teasing. Same. I really love teasing. Teasing is everything. You know, a tease is always, it gains momentum. You know. Wow. So, yeah, please follow me on that, on Instagram. I shall create a TikTok and then post it also on my Instagram. So, yeah. Prepare to be sick of me. I'll be hella active. And yeah, just be interactive. There's also a Q&A space on my Spotify.
I love that.
You know, and then it goes directly to me. Not everyone will see it. Like, literally, you can, while you are engaging with this podcast, you can literally be commenting and I will see it. So everything is more, you know, accessible. So please make sure you share. Make sure you share the page. Make sure you share the content. And, you know, and even if you don't share, just listen. Honestly, that's always my goal. My goal has never been likes and views and followers. My goal has always just listen so that people can, my voice is out there, you know? And so for all of you who have been continuing to support me, I love you from the bottom of my heart. I hope you get the best head today. After listening to
that's
this,
for real.
That's so
manifesting
for you all the best head. And yeah, I love you all so much. Please, wellness check, make sure you, after this episode, you know, you internalize the information, you go about with your day, you know, make sure you buy yourself something. Go buy yourself a fucking caramel macchiato or a fucking green smoothie, you know. Don't text him. Don't text him. Yeah. And then go sleep. You've literally listened to an hour plus of me speaking about men, and then you want to text him. Don't do that. Don't text him. You know who I'm talking about. And yeah, just go listen to some good music, go vibe, follow us on Letterboxd, follow us on our pages, and just interact with us. We're literally harmless. And if you see me in public, Aki, say hi. Forget the weird staring. May I hate that shit. Just come and say hi. Me, I'm such a welcoming person. So don't, you know, just say hi. And also, yeah, hope you have a wonderful week. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, because now I'll be releasing episodes on Thursday. So I think today is a Thursday. Yeah, so love ya. See ya.
Bye.